Welcome to the Business Marketing Clubcast, a podcast for B2B marketing people who want to get on and stay ahead in what is absolutely, bar none, the toughest profession in business. We'll be offering insight and inspiration from B2B marketers on a key current topic, advice from experienced CMOs on how to climb the career ladder, and top networking tips. My name's Dave Stevens. I'm a B2B marketer, and I'm also chair of the Business Marketing Club Network. In this episode, I'll be speaking to a range of contributors for the qualities they believe are important in a B2B marketing leader today. Sophie Barnes will share a key lesson that she's taken on the journey to being social media manager at Workday. And I'll explain how the Business Marketing Club came about. So stay tuned. B2B marketing is tough, and it's getting tougher every day. I asked a range of contributors for the qualities they believe are important in a B2B marketing leader today and how to go about acquiring them. First up, Laura Hughes, who's head of marketing at Pay Dashboard. Laura, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave. The quality that I believe makes a great B2B marketing leader is the ability to celebrate and sometimes brag about your achievements. Right. I think our colleagues in sales are really great at, you know, shouting about their achievements and, you know, what's come in, you know, deals that have been brought in. And I see that marketers, we don't really tend to shout about what we do as much,
right,
which maybe then leads to why marketing is underrepresented at senior levels. So I really think that we all need to take a leaf out of the sales team's book and look at how the sales team promote their achievements and what they've done and learn from those and try and replicate those kind of behaviours in how we talk about the value of what we've done and what we've achieved.
Laura Hughes, head of marketing at Pay Dashboard. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Next up, Tyler Lawrence, who's marketing manager at Stace. Tyler, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. So for me, what I think is a needed skill within for a B2B marketing leader is stakeholder management, or I sort of said influencing key decision makers. And the reason I say that, I believe a marketing leader will by then have wrapped up delivering a marketing strategy, sort of gaining the insight and the research they need, and then also sort of delivering campaigns for the company they're working for. Right. So at that stage, that marketing skill set is there. Mm. And I think a skill set that is that sort of flicks on the switch a bit more is that stakeholder management piece, where okay. In a B2B world, especially in my experience in working in partnerships, there is multiple key decision makers who you need to influence and you need to get their buy-in for the strategy you'd like to take or the message to market or your positioning. And actually, by taking them on that journey or by actually taking in what their insight is, because they're passionate business leaders as well, and you really need to get their insight to deliver a great campaign. And for me, it's being able to sort of manage those very senior stakeholders and then taking what they feel is the right insight into the campaign as well, but getting their buy-in. And for me, and I am a less experienced marketing professional now, still sort of nurturing my career, always learning. And for some, I've had the opportunity to develop this, I think, and I'm still developing it. But I was fortunate at EY when I was part of the infrastructure sector. There was a marketing lead called Kevin Corcoran.
Yeah.
And he gave me the opportunity to be part of those conversations. So we was delivering a campaign called Building Future Britain. And at that time, it felt very exciting, quite a bold campaign for EY. And I was fortunate enough to be in the conversations when Kevin was talking to the head of sectors, the head of BMC, the infrastructure partner lead, and then the several other infrastructure partners that were all involved. And actually, you wanted their buy-in and you needed their buy-in for the campaign to be a success. So for me to just sort of sit back and watch Kevin and then other marketing people do this, for me was hugely important because it just gave me that opportunity to see and then learn from it.
So you learn from it really by just watching other people try to manage their stakeholders and see what tips you can take away.
Yeah, I think as a young marketing professional, I think being around the right leaders, I think there's a famous quote, I don't know who it's from, but you learn just as much from bad leaders as you do good leaders. Mm. But I was fortunate enough to be around a good marketing leader at the time. And I sort of was a bit of a sponge and just asked every silly question I could and just sort of took as much information as I can to then take into my role today.
Tyler Lawrence, marketing manager at Stace. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Susie Clark, who is UK MD at Omma Bono. Susie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dave. Nice to be here. When we talk about leadership at Omma Bono, we have a slightly different stance. We believe that everyone can be a great leader. We've been on a road for the last 6-9 months to working with an external coach to build what we call Omma Bono 2.0. And that's essentially focusing on giving everybody within the agency the skills to be a great leader. Mm. We don't believe that leadership comes from seniority. In fact, everyone from the bottom up can be a great leader. And leadership qualities can be learned. You know, they're not inherent and implicit in everything that we do, but it is possible to learn it. So we're changing the way that we work and behave with one another from the ground up. So we're working with the whole agency on building these leadership skills. Things like democratising decision making. We're putting the priority on transparency and being brave enough to challenge the way things have always been done in favour of better ways of doing things and being with each other. It's a hugely exciting journey and everyone's evolved. We're not there yet, but we've made great inroads. We do lots of little things. We create experiments. We take some premises about, you know, and some principles. So some of the principles we apply is less over more. We talk about small steps. We talk about progress over perfection. We talk about open over closed, freedom over control. And the biggest one for me is consent over consensus.
Right.
Which is slight nuance. What does that actually mean? But what it really means is that we don't always have to have everyone in agreement. We just have to have people's agreement to continue what we're doing. We work in the open. That's a big move. You know, we have the meeting rooms. It can be really small steps, such as things like leaving the room door open if we're having a meeting, unless obviously it's very sensitive information. But we're very, very transparent in everything that we do. We talk about, is it safe to try? So rather than making big decisions and, you know, which can be cumbersome and take loads of time, we work together to say, is it safe to try? How long do we need to try it for? What would be the result to show that it was working? We do rumbling, which is an odd one as well, but rumbling for us is about having difficult conversations.
Right.
So we really, really stop, you know, back channeling. It's not permitted. If you've got something to say, you're unhappy, you say it to that person.
Okay.
And there's ways that we help facilitate those conversations. A really good one that I use a lot myself is the story I'm telling myself.
Right.
So it's a much easier way to have confrontation because you can say the story I'm telling myself is that you're really unhappy with what I've been doing. And the person might say, the story is right, and I am unhappy about it. Or equally, 9 times out of 10, they say, that's absolutely not true.
Right.
But you live it in the open and you talk about it. So that's what we're doing. And it's a really forward-thinking process. And once we've sort of got really to grips with it, we're going to take it to our clients and try and work with our clients in the same way. It's really refreshing. It's really fun, challenging, but great. And what it will mean is that, you know, not that we'll have an entirely flat structure, but the leadership team will be the whole agency and not just the exec board.
Exciting times.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Susie Clark, UKMD at Omar Bono. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Nick Eads, who's CMO at Wincanton. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be here. Here's the thing that I think I've accumulated over a number of years, which is this. You have to be able to think, and I mean think deeply, and work alongside your CEO and your investors. Because if you're a PLC like we are, we're owned by our shareholders. If you're owned by private equity, and I've done that too, the investors are invariably in the room in the board meeting in a way that they're not in the same way with a PLC. But the key thing is this. You're all trying to get to the same destination. So you have to understand where you're going. Mm. And you have to be able to articulate the vision of that and the pathways of the destination as the lead communicator in the company. You have to bring that to life. Because invariably, bless them, CEOs, CFOs and others aren't versed in those skills, right? Let's put it that way. So we'll be kind to them. And then you own the delivery systematically of getting there from a marketing perspective. So if you can really truthfully, honestly be part of that 3-year planning work, the strategic vision from 3, 4, 5, which is the hard part because nobody really knows. You have to run and own the insight process. That's the piece. Understand where you're going, what it looks like, and how you're going to get there, and communicate.
Nick Eads, thank you very much. Next up, Sophie Barnes, who's social media manager at Workday. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Dave. Hiya. Okay, so what skill or quality makes a B2B marketing leader? I will without a doubt say, and this is from kind of coming from different experiences that I've had working within B2B marketing, that it is the alignment you have with the business,
right.
Kind of how marketing is seen within the business, where they're kind of positioned alongside finance, where they're considered alongside the sales team, and how they kind of integrate and kind of work together, and have that seat at the table
right.
when they're kind of building out the plans and making sure that we're kind of aligned to the pipeline and how we're kind of having an impact on the business objectives. So, for example, how do I kind of see that kind of working in real life, and then how kind of how important is that to B2B marketing as a whole?
Mm.
I would say from having an understanding of how you can report back to the business is a main factor and kind of skill and quality that a B2B marketer needs to have. So for example, I'm a social media manager. I'm going to report back to the business that within the marketing team, I'll report back, I've got this many impressions and I've had this
right.
many clicks and engagements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic for the marketing team to see how well their content that they've created and how much brand awareness they've generated from an event. But are impressions and engagements kind of relevant to the finance and the sales teams? No, they want to understand kind of how I'm impacting that bottom line.
Yeah.
So it's understanding, again, how you can report back to the different functions. So that's one big, massive skill
right.
that I've definitely learned over my career. And I think that is a big quality that a B2B marketing manager will need to kind of understand as they grow and kind of gain respect within the business from the different functions and making sure that they are getting that seat at the table.
Mm.
So one of the things that I have done kind of early on in my career, I've aligned myself to a mentor. She's my lovely VP of marketing in EMEA. And she's been fantastic and just kind of teaching me how I can actually align what I'm doing from a social media perspective back to the business.
Right.
So she's kind of helped me breaking down all of the different terminology that they may use, the ACV, the pipeline, and kind of what does that mean, and then how can I then report that back and make it kind of relevant for them to kind of understand, and how I can put it so high level that they get it, they take in the information, and they kind of position it as a kind of a function that is actually helping that bottom line. So the quality, I think, why is it so important to a B2B marketer? Because it does kind of incorporate marketing within the business as kind of a core function that
yeah.
is helping and aligning yeah. us and driving the business forward. I think it also helps in terms of getting that budget that you want every year. And so making sure that it's not being cut.
Always helps.
Yep, always helps. And then building that skill. Like I said, I think I've got a mentor. I think it's been fantastic in kind of having her help me understand and kind of how and helping me in terms of the presentation skills that I have for the different functions as well. But to also kind of then align myself to those stakeholders within the business. So actually working with them to say, okay, right, this is what I've been able to present to you so far. What else do you want to see from me?
Right.
And working with them to then grow out the reports that they then find actually is more kind of relevant for them. And I think that's definitely a skill that I think every B2B marketer needs to understand and to align it, definitely.
Sophie Barnes, Social Media Manager at Workday, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, John Webb, who's founder at Get to Growth. Hi, John.
Good morning. So I think probably the biggest skill that I see that is fundamental for B2B marketers, and especially those that are looking to get into senior leadership, is what I call commerciality. Now, that's a bit of a catch-all, but essentially a lot of marketers, you know, they get into marketing because they like the creative side of it. They like the innovation that marketing brings. But I think the ones that really, really make a difference also understand that broader business piece and what I call commerciality. Now, what I mean by that is really understanding how, especially the financials of the business work, first and
right.
foremost. So what that means is actually understanding what is a P&L, how does a P&L work, what's a balance sheet, how do you develop a cash flow, and being able to talk in those terms and talk in those kinds of languages with other business stakeholders. So I think that's one side of it, understanding the financial side of the business, but then also the other disciplines within the business itself. So understanding operations, understanding sales, understanding functions like HR, for example. So when I first got into marketing, I saw and I thought that marketing was very much at the heart of the business, and it enabled me to interface with a lot of these other disciplines and other functions. And I think one of the things I'd definitely encourage people starting on their careers in marketing, spend as much time as you can with the other parts of the business. Go and speak to people in those teams. And then, as I mentioned, the financial side. If you've got the opportunity, if your companies will support you, try and get on a finance course. Understand, learn about those sort of things. You're not going to be doing them every single day, right, but they're going to be absolutely crucial in terms of how you can then relate to the wider business. And definitely spend time with your finance teams. Spend time with, if you can, with your financial director, your CFO, and get to understand what the drivers of the business are. Understand what the priorities are. Understand the financial makeup of the business. And I think the more that you can do that, the more you can understand that, the more you can then design your marketing programs, design your marketing plans that are in accordance with that and can actually build towards the goals and the success factors that the business is trying to achieve. So for me, that broader commerciality, the financial side of it, but also understanding the rest of the business and what the rest of the business does, makes marketing much, much more effective and makes you as a marketing leader much more effective in terms of not only managing your team, but also then building your programs and building your plans.
John Webb, founder of Get to Growth, thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure.
Next up, Carla Rivershaw, who's CMO at Turtle. Carla, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. So yes, in terms of the qualities that I think every B2B marketing leader should have, I mean, I think the main one for me is about being really data-driven. And it's something which I think is becoming a bigger and bigger thing these days, particularly with the onslaught of CMOs that are, you know, losing their jobs right now. And I mean, I don't know exactly the reasons for these, obviously, but my suspicion is a lot of it is down to data and the fact that marketing leaders are unable to demonstrate the value they're providing to the businesses that they're in. So, I mean, I think for me, to be data-driven means to be constantly scrutinizing everything that you're doing and checking to make sure that things are working. And if they're not, how can you optimize them to make them better?
Right.
And I certainly think that, I mean, I guess I'm a little bit biased because I work for Turtle, but I think that an area where marketers are really, really falling behind right now is around content and their inability to be able to monitor how successful their content is performing. So a lot of marketers will base their decisions on whether a piece of content is successful based on the number of downloads, but that really doesn't tell you anything about that. And so what I would suggest is that you think about how you're able to go deeper into the performance of that content. So you should be checking things like who's reading it, for how long, which parts do they like, which parts don't they like, because that's the sort of data that will actually help you to be able to decide whether this content even resonates with your audience, whether the topic is the right topic, whether there are other things they would be more interested in. And then what the next step would be is that you're able to pass this information to salespeople. So rather than handing your sales team a list of like 1,000 so-called leads, which are really just the number of people who've downloaded it, you're actually able to say, okay, so you're interested in selling this product to people in this location who are interested in this topic. Well, here's a list of 50 people who've read the chapter on this topic. So we know they are primed and ready for you guys to go after. And if you start to do that, then you really start to transform the relationship you have with your sales team. So suddenly they start to see marketing as a strategic partner as opposed to, you know, the coloring in department, as we're often called. So I think that there's a lot of work that marketing leaders in B2B have to do in order to be able to be taken more seriously by their businesses. And I think data is really the way to make that happen.
Carla Rivershaw, CMO at Turtle. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Chris Wilson, who's MD at Earnest. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me here. The quality that I think is the most important for being successful in B2B marketing is it's a phrase that's been soiled and overused and wrongly used. So you're going to have to bear with me on this. But it's the dreaded term storytelling. Now, I do not mean this in a marketing sense. So I think I need to kind of contextualize this quite carefully. Our job is to communicate as marketeers, and we're good at that when we do that for the companies we work for. So we're good at creating a message, understanding what that message is for a company, and then getting out there. What I don't think we do as a profession well enough is take that same skill and use it for ourselves in our own businesses. We might be doing great work, but does the organisation realise we're doing great work? Have we told that story of the work that we're doing, why we're doing it, both to our own teams, our own marketing teams internally, but also to the wider business? And I just think this is a something I keep stumbling upon again and again. And it's also been called marketing the marketing department. But I think our job as communicators, we should be the best communicators in the business, is to quite bluntly sell what we do internally. And if we do that well, I think we will gain the respect of our peers. I think we will show the value of B2B marketing. And it's not because the B2B marketing isn't doing good things and isn't generating results. It certainly is. And there are tools and techniques to show that data-wise we're doing that, but we're not selling it. Mm. And I did some work quite some time ago with a fascinating guy who taught strategy teams how to do strategy. It's one of these weird things that's never taught. But the biggest thing he came about during his career is he realised that the strategy itself that he was teaching people was totally irrelevant, really. Right. It could be a great strategy. What he then started teaching was, how do you sell that internally?
Okay.
And he said that especially in large organisations, the skill of selling, telling the story to motivate people, to excite people, to get people going, oh, this is brilliant marketing you guys are doing. Yeah, do you want more budget, sort of thing? It's really, really important. And I've actually seen you do that, Dave, as you and I have talked about before. I remember the time where at a previous employee, you took to the stage and then kind of disrupted it in a really nice way where you then decided to sit down on the edge of the stage and show people all of the things that were going on that you were going to be changing. And it got people engaged. Mm. And you could have delivered that same message by standing behind the podium and reading from a list or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have had the same effect. Instead, you told a story. And I do think that skill, whether it's called storytelling, whether it's called marketing, the marketing, or whether it's just plain selling, is massively important for us in marketing. We are in the communications business. So we need to learn how to really compellingly communicate what we do and the value that brings to our peers, to our organisation, and to our teams as well.
And there's the question how, of course. So if I'm starting out, yeah. how do I start thinking about this?
Yeah, so this I don't think this is a simple thing, because I do think some people just innately have that sometimes.
Right.
So, but I do think everyone can learn it. And I do think spending time with salespeople is really helpful. My first job before I got a proper job, and I'm hoping he doesn't listen to this podcast, but my first job was working directly for a sales guy, and he was an amazing communicator. He's charismatic. He brought everyone along with him and did really well. So I learned a lot from him, just understanding how he communicated, picking it up from him. And so I think that certainly people at the early stages in their careers should find those sources of inspiration within the organisations they work with. There are always those great orators in organisations, and pick up stuff from them. And then there's also a ton of stuff that I would argue is healthy for people to read if they're in a marketing profession, such as NLP, for example.
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of a tried and tested thing for salespeople to use and techniques, but actually understanding it, learning it, seeing how you can apply it internally, I do think is an important thing. But the first step actually just starts with realising that you need to sell, you need to tell a story to get what you want done. You can have the best plan, you can have a very well thought through budget. It does not cut it. You have to then communicate it brilliantly to people, get people excited about it, get some kind of emotional resonance. So it is an age old, it's not what you say, it's how you say it, but that is so important. And as communicators, we should know that. We all know that for our brands that we work with. We know that the message that we put out needs to be emotive, uplifting, needs to sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that ourselves.
We're almost too focused and not perhaps looking at the marketing part of the role.
I agree. Because the thing is, when you do it well, it opens up everything else. Mm. And the clients that I know that do amazing. And there's one in particular, and I won't mention his name, but he's this incredible salesperson almost. He tells an amazing narrative. Mm. So that does two things in this organisation. This is a global organisation. It's a very tricky organisation with lots of politics in it, as you'd expect. It does two things. One, it gets his team behind him all the way.
Okay.
They work the extra hours, they go the extra mile because they believe there is a, you know, a Simon Sinek why about what he says. So they go, we're following you. We'll go into battle for you. And secondly, he has absolutely won the respect of his peers, the head of sales, the VP of product, you know, the actual global CMO, because they know he knows what he's talking about. And the reason they know that is just because he sells what he does really well. He's very compelling. Is he better a marketeer than anyone else? Let's say he isn't. It doesn't really matter, because what he's done is he's told the right narrative, the right stories, and that's why he's got to where he's got to.
Chris Wilson, MD at Earnest, thank you very much.
Thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Next up, Sarah Ford, who's Brand and Content Director at Capita. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I guess when I think about the qualities that are important for a B2B leader, I think very much about the voice of the customer. It's really important that as you move further up an organization or you move into leadership positions, that you don't lose connection with the customer. You don't lose connection with that person who's your ultimate buyer or user of a product. So it's really important that you take the time to make sure that you're constantly revisiting the front line, if you like, that you're spending time understanding the products and services that are being offered to your customers, how they're using them, and almost spending time within your customer journey. Recently, we launched a new website, Capita.com. It's a completely reformed website with a fantastic user experience built through it. And for me, the biggest learning and the biggest sort of opportunity through that project was that I spent time with the team really getting under the skin of that user experience. So rather than just leading that project from afar, I was really sort of alongside the team, making sure that we were making decisions about the customer as we went and I could understand them. So I was really close to the decisions and the needs of the customer as we went forward.
Sarah Ford, Brand and Content Director at Capita, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Nick Masters, who's Head of Growth at PwC. Nick, thanks for coming to the podcast.
Thanks, Dave. I think the answer to your question is a really important one for anybody who's involved in this. I think there is a kind of slightly amorphous nature now to the B2B world, where you're dealing across a range of different disciplines, you know, marketing, communications, digital, online, and data. And, you know, so how do you become and be seen to be a leader in this? To do so, you need to have worked or at least understand an awful lot of different things. So you need to work with specialists. You need to understand and get the most out of the specialists within those areas. But you have to be a little bit of a generalist. I don't think there's any way you can avoid that. And I would in some ways put that final part of it, the data part of it, is somewhere near the front of the things you need to be best at, because what you need to be able to, more than anything else, is to be able to interpret what's happening around you and feed that back into your teams and the people you're working with and your markets to make sure that what you're doing is reflective of what you're hearing and being told. Because there is all this enormous amount of data and information out of these so-called digital footprints that everyone's leaving about what they're interested in, what they care about, what they want. You know, and being able to harvest that information and turn it into actions that people can then do something with, whether it's a marketing campaign or whether it's, you know, some messaging, or, you know, whether it's some, you know, sort of design conceit or whatever it is, or building an app or whatever those things are, that is the key role. And I think it's the people that have, you know, that understand how to bring all of that together and probably have worked across a lot of those different disciplines in some form or another, and they certainly aren't fazed by them. I think that's the important thing. I don't think you can get away with the kind of "I don't really understand technology" line anymore. It doesn't really wash. You've got to be able to at least be credible in all of those areas. So I think that sort of generalisation of experience is critical, to your credibility.
And you talked about data being the most important, or perhaps one of the areas where you focus first. If I'm starting out, how do I get under the bonnet of the data world?
There are a huge amount of data sources that are available. So, you know, if you're working in any digital sphere, you know, every single network now has data and analytics. You could, you know, Google Analytics is free. You can plug it into anything you do. You know, Google Trends allows you to see what's going on in the marketplace. There are enormous number of data sources out there. You know, Follower Wonk and you know, all these things. There's a lot of free services. You know, and these are the starting points because they then become the pillars of knowing what are the things to look for. The thing that I've learned more than anything else in the last few years is that the world changes quite dramatically, and what was true even as long, you know, long ago as 2 years ago might no longer be the case. So you have to constantly challenge yourself. There aren't shibboleths anymore. You can't say, oh, well, we did that and it didn't work, because you know, we tried using chatbots 3 or 4 years ago and it just nothing happened. Now we're using them quite a lot because at that point it was far too early for our marketplace. It wasn't ready for it. Yeah, now it is. But I could easily cling on to the notion that that was the right thing. You know, that's the truth forever. It isn't. It's now, you know, we've moved on because lots of people have come to use them in different environments. So now they're more comfortable with them. It's that kind of thing. You have to be constantly reevaluating. And you can see this because it's there in front of you. And there is something telling you this. It's up to you to do something with it and to action it.
Nick Masters, Head of Growth at PwC. Thanks very much. Thanks. Next up, Lauren Heaton, who's B2B Senior Marketing Manager at Circus Street. Lauren.
You know, I really think being a marketing manager and being in a leadership position these days, you really need to be thinking about how you can be agile and adaptive. When I think about what I wish I would have known at the start of my career is how much you're going to be able and need to be able to adapt and tweak things as they go on. In 2019, you can no longer create a 12-month marketing strategy, turn it on, and check back on it in a year. You need to be able to optimize and utilize the new tools and channels that are coming available all the time in the digital marketing space. So I really believe that you need to be adaptive and agile as things are going throughout a strategy. And in order to, you know, how to do that and how to work on that and become agile and adaptive in the marketing world is I think really every time you sit down and you're looking at a marketing plan or a strategy you're looking at, you need to think at what could be tweaked about this? What could be made better? Is there an easier way to go about this? Is there someone else I could bring in from a different department to help happen? You know, you no longer are looking in a linear type way. You're really, it's a web of different ways to get to your marketing strategy objectives and achieving your KPIs. So for me, I really believe that the most important thing is being adaptive, being agile, being willing to work with lots of different people to achieve your objectives, and never know that it's never a straight path to your success and your goals.
Lauren Heaton, B2B Senior Marketing Manager at Circus Street. Thank you very much. Next up, Simon McAvoy, who's UK Head of Strategy at Omo Bono. Simon.
Hi. So I was really tempted to go for something kind of nice and fluffy, like, you know, curiosity or courage or something along those lines. But to be completely on brand, I've decided to go with critical thinking. And the reason I think critical thinking is really important to marketing leaders is that there's probably two main reasons. One is that I think marketers are surrounded by an extraordinary amount of BS on a daily basis. There's just so much data, reports, thought leadership, thought leaders, so much to sift through, so much to understand. You have to have the faculties and skills to be able to discern what's important, what's meaningful, and what's not. And that means asking tough questions of whatever it is you read. So, you know, is this true? Who's it come from? What incentives do they have for saying it? What data sits behind it? What was the methodology? These are the critical thinking skills that will help you understand whether something's worth listening to and paying attention to or something isn't. The other reason why it's really important is because we're human beings and we suffer from something I don't know if you've ever heard called the illusion of explanatory depth, which is wonderful. I love the name of it. It's a psychological phenomenon that means basically we think we understand the world better than we do. And it's just human nature. So critical thinking basically forces you to admit how little you understand the world. And that's a good place to start. And the way to build that skill is through reading the right stuff. So I would highly recommend the book Halo Effect by Phil Rosenzweig, which is, I would say, the gateway drug to critical thinking. It's phenomenal. And it basically dispels the myths of every single business book ever written. It's fantastic. And then I would also strongly recommend the Ehrenberg Bass Institute's work, How Brands Grow, 1 and 2, will really help you think more critically about the way you look at marketing. And I think the other thing I would do is follow people on Twitter who you don't agree with. Like, find people that challenge your viewpoint. Because a bit like working out in the gym, the mind is worked out when we're forced into polarities and extremes, when we're forced to see the world from a different perspective. So critical thinking can be really helped by just taking a different viewpoint on the world and assuming you don't know as much as you think you do.
So I should start following Donald Trump straight away.
Well, okay. Maybe, I mean, there's a level of critical thinking that maybe none of us need to get to. I don't know.
Simon McAvoy, UK Head of Strategy, Don Mabono. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Ross Chapman, Technology Marketing Leader. Ross, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. So the quality that B2B marketers need today is the ability to engage people and to ask hard questions and to understand foreign audiences. We live in a world where the tools and the tactics that we often associate with marketing are commonplace. Mm. The ability to deliver communications at scale, whether that's PR or email or interesting websites and digital interfaces and whatnot. And what's really in this world where everyone has access to that, and there are millions more, thousands of more companies trying to compete for our buyers' attention every day, what's really going to cut through is making sure that your buyers see themselves in your communications. And the only way to do that is to really deeply understand your customers and their needs. And to do that, marketers need to be a lot more like salespeople in the fact they need to initiate conversations and ask questions. And that's on the outward-facing side. You also need to do that on the internal-facing side. Why is our technology really different? Why is our product really different? So that ability to really understand these foreign audiences is very important. It's a journalistic skill that I think we should all spend a bit of time thinking about how to develop.
And is there a good way that you would recommend people get started in developing that skill?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think those who read lead, I suppose. And, you know, one of the things I've tried to do is read a lot of books on sales and sales methodologies. I think we need to think a lot about how we build human relationships. We need to think about how in our marketing and our marketing processes we think about the individual rather than the collective group. So there's a number of things we can do. But when it comes down to it, it's about putting it out there, letting go of a bit of ego, being willing to be a bit embarrassed and going saying hi to who you think your target buyer is and asking them conversational questions.
Ross Chapman, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next up, Scott McLean. Scott is COO of content marketing platform Adisiant and co-founder of Seen and Read, a content marketing agency. Scott.
Thank you for having me. And let me talk about the qualities which I believe are important in a B2B marketer today. For me, it really gets down to one thing: embrace what you do not know. And I think that quality is what stands apart all the great B2B marketers that I have worked with, and would be the thing that I have embraced myself, is the fact that as a marketer, you cannot possibly know everything which is going on in marketing. You would be foolhardy to suggest you could do, and therefore you must try to proactively be inquisitive, be open-minded, and be ultimately incredibly cynical about all of the broad spectrum of marketing activities and marketing qualities that we have to have today. And just as two examples, I work with two great B2B marketers. So rather than talking about myself, I'd like to talk about them. Okay. One is Sean Russell from Costcutter Supermarkets Group, who is amazing because he comes from a digital background and is now the marketing director of the business. He has to do both B2B because it's targeting retail, and B2C because guess what? They run stores. And therefore, the plethora of things he has to embrace, from PR, my own heritage, all the way through digital, his background, all the way up to advertising and beyond, is incredible. And how does he achieve that? He achieves that by being incredibly open-minded and inquisitive.
Okay.
And the second person I'd like to name check is Oliver Pilgerstorfer, who's the CMO of IFS. And the great thing about IFS, which is an ERP vendor, is that Oliver comes from a PR background. He used to work with me in a PR agency in a B2B world. He's now the CMO of a very large ERP vendor. And working with him, you can tell his inquisitiveness and his desire to learn and to understand more of what is going on. And that is what makes him a great B2B marketer and will stand him in great stead moving forward. Now, the second question you asked me was, how do you go about acquiring qualifications like this?
Yeah.
How do you actually become a great B2B marketer? And I think the challenge that we all face, and to keep this very succinct, is the market is moving so quickly. How can you possibly keep up? How can you possibly get all those qualities together? And so therefore, I'm just going to repeat what I said at the beginning, which is you have to be embracing what you don't know and seeking out actively what you don't know. And whilst you have to do that in an open-minded manner, you have to do it in a cynical manner as well. Right. And I think beyond anything else, my mantra, put the customer first.
That's great. Scott McLean, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next up, Richard Robinson, who's Chief Commercial Officer at DPL. Richard.
Thanks, Dave. So in terms of what I've learned over my career in B2B about skills and qualities, I think the thing that's really come to the fore over recent years has absolutely been the combination of using data creatively. Right. So there's many, many things that, you know, underpin core skills of a B2B marketer. But I think as we move forward, it's about bringing that left brain and that right brain together. When I started off in my career, it was very much the be creative. How can you engage with somebody in kind of a big story type way? But what I've seen over the period is data has become far more important, a far more intrinsic part of our roles. And I feel that there's been quite a shift in that that is actually quite difficult for marketers that have been around quite a long time to adjust to. So I think that being able to understand the data, really work with that data, but then have this human overlay over the top that means that you can bring that to life through creative or in a very creative way. So that bringing of the left brain and the right brain together, I think, is absolutely critical for marketers moving forward.
Okay. And how do you acquire that type of approach, that type of thinking, maybe? I don't know, between left and right.
It's incredibly difficult because, you know, naturally left brain and right brain are very different.
Yeah.
So bringing that together and learning that is a challenge. And the way that I've gone about it, and this is not necessarily the best way, but the way that I've gone about it is that I've really tried to immerse myself and understand the people that know this stuff the best. So spending time with members of my team that really understand the data inside out, really understand how they view the world and what they feel they can extract out of it. Working again with the more creative people in my team to kind of bring that together so that I'm starting to get an overview of this. I'm not an expert in one area, but I'm able to take an overview of this and able to direct and orchestrate far more effectively. So it's about spending time with experts. Now, those experts can be in your team. I've been in teams that are very, very small where that expert is me and I'm not an expert. So what do I do then? I've actually gone out and looked to try and find those experts. Spend a lot of time networking, being in events, going to events, listening to speakers that are bringing that to mind. Self-education as well, actually going out and learning that and reading about it. Yes, I've even done a coding course. I'm not recommending everyone does that, but yes, trying to get to understand that. And it kind of builds on something I feel very passionately about, which is long-term learning.
Right.
So don't think that you come out of university and you've done your first job, you know everything. You do not. I certainly didn't and certainly don't now. So it's about looking at those opportunities to learn and grow. Absolutely, if you can get a qualification alongside that as well, that's brilliant. But take every opportunity to learn and grow and take inspiration from others around you.
Richard Robinson, Chief Commercial Officer at DPL. Thank you very much. Next up, Simon Hayhurst from Coleman Park's B2B Research. Simon, welcome to the Clubcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me, David. I've worked with a number of different marketing directors in my career down the line. I've worked client side, I've worked agency side, and now research agency side. And the most impressive marketing directors for me were the ones that actually understood what a proposition was. And as one of them taught me a long time ago, it's actually very simple. A proposition is the answer to the question, give me one good reason why I should buy your product. The trick is the answer has to be one sentence, has one adjective and no conjunctions. And it's actually very, very difficult to hone your proposition down to something that actually matches those criteria. Now, a good proposition has three key factors. One is relevance to your target audience. The second is it needs to be distinctive from what the competition is saying. And the third is that it needs to be demonstrably true. Relevance comes from understanding a consumer, distinctiveness comes from understanding the competition, and truth comes from understanding your product. And if you can get those things right, you can actually get a really short, sharp, persuasive, effective proposition, and you can take that to market very, very successfully. It avoids an awful lot of waffle.
And how do I go about acquiring that that approach? Is there a book you'd recommend, or a training course, or some specific experience you'd suggest I go about getting?
I learned that through working in ad agencies with some very good marketing directors and some very good planning directors. And so that's where that comes from. Can it be learnt? Well, yes, you just apply the rules. Mm. Relevant, distinctive, true.
Simon Hayhurst, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Andrew O'Sullivan, who's creative director at the B2B practice at Ogilvy. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Look, I think the key quality I think you needed to be a marketing leader today is to understand that it's ever-changing. I think it's something where we can often get ourselves into a practice of rerunning the same kind of tactics, the same kind of channels, just to try and get the same kind of result as we had before. I think in this day and age, you know, those channels can be ever changing. And I think that it's about exploiting new areas, new media to actually then approach the problem at hand, rather than always going back to the thing that you know and the thing that's worked for you before.
And so does that change how you go about keeping your skills? What you're saying is keeping your skills going. So how do you do that?
Yeah, I think certainly from a creative standpoint, that means that every time we look at a brief, we should always be looking at what the best answer is, not necessarily what has worked before. I think that, because that can definitely change, quarter by quarter, it can even change where we should be looking to actually place marketing and targeting our customers.
Andrew O'Sullivan, thanks very much.
No problem at all.
Next up, Sophie Barnes shares a key lesson that she took on the journey to being social media manager of Workday. Hi, Sophie. Welcome to the
Hello.
Podcast.
Hiya.
First of all, you should probably tell us what Workday is.
Yeah, sure. So Workday is a software as a service. We're a single system for finance, HR and planning.
Brilliant. And you're social media manager there.
Yes, I am.
So what is it that's made you the brilliant B2B marketer that you are today? How did you get to being social media manager? What skill did you really pick up on and need?
Oh god. Okay, so that's a big broad question. I think throughout my whole career, I've been kind of working in social media now since I graduated.
Right.
So I did a journalism public relations degree. And I worked closely with a kind of guest lecturer that we had.
Right.
And she kind of got me involved in kind of social media projects. And from that point, I kind of like looked at kind of how I can like work with different people within a network that I was kind of gradually starting to build as I was coming out of university. I've now been kind of in the working world for about 7-8 years now,
yeah.
Getting on. And I think I've learned a lot of lessons over my time in terms of kind of listening to the trends out there, kind of looking at all of the technology and kind of how that is progressing, working on all the different social media, different platforms. Mm. But one of the things that I think has really, really helped me and kind of get where I am today, and that is kind of the power of networking.
Okay.
And kind of utilising the people that I've got around me within kind of the business that I'm working, but the people that I've got kind of outside of work. So that is kind of different kind of friends that I've met along my journey.
Right.
At university.
Mm.
Kind of people that I've met at marketing clubs and marketing events that I've attended. And I think that's kind of a really kind of big skill that I've,
okay.
I've
so,
used.
So let's look at networking. how do you use networking today to help you?
So 2 points on that. So then there's kind of networking within the business and networking outside the business.
Right.
So kind of I am part of the BMC. This is Marketing Club in London. And I joined that about 5-6 years ago when my first boss, as I kind of moved from working freelance and I moved in-house, he encouraged me to go along.
Okay.
I was a junior within the business at the time. And I was very, very intimidated to go along to this event that he'd suggested. as my CMO, I walked in and there was kind of a round table of people, fellow CMOs, friends and colleagues of his.
Yeah.
And it was quite intimidating to go in and kind of as a junior to sit amongst kind of other leaders.
Right.
And I was like, how am I going to kind of involve myself in this? I'm a niche kind of social media manager. So just kind of how I got involved in the conversations and actually learned to understand how to network within different stakeholders and kind of people that are working within different industries was definitely something that I kind of think is very important. Mm. And I've continued to do so as part of the marketing club. And then I think working internally with different stakeholders, networking within the business, not just kind of networking and sitting amongst kind of peers within the marketing team, but actually going and sitting alongside the sales team, sitting along kind of the HR and finance managers within the business to understand what their pain points are, has really helped me kind of understand and kind of, yeah, grow my knowledge.
Great. So you're a good networker now.
Wow.
let's perhaps give us some tips. You know, what are the tips that you would give to the listeners for how you would network well?
Okay, so when I give, every Monday, I give a talk around how people can get into social media and how they can kind of grow their network online.
In your company?
Yeah, in my company, right. Yeah. And I think this kind of just kind of transfers into actually real life in terms of how you're growing your network. I think when you're going to an event, perhaps it's kind of you don't walk in the room and say to everyone, listen to me, I've got something to say.
Yeah.
It's very much around kind of listening to people as well. And networking, when I kind of walk into an event, can be quite daunting. But kind of, and I think people that are not as confident tend, and I am very much like that myself. I kind of sit back and I tend to survey the room. I tend to kind of always make sure that I've checked out the agenda online, so I've kind of know that I've got some topics in my back pocket.
Yeah.
But in my back pocket, I've got some kind of questions that I can be starting to ask people. I think that's kind of a one big thing that you kind of when you're going to a networking event that you do need to kind of have something prepared.
Mm.
But I also would say just get out there and just do it, because once you've done it once, your confidence really, really does grow, and then your network grows, and then you can then actually look to meet up with someone at the networking events, and then it builds from there.
Because there were a good portion of people who would kind of challenge that by saying, "Hey, look, I'm an introvert.
Yep.
You know, I struggle in these kinds of situations anyway. You know, so." Is there any kind of specific advice for those people that you give them as to how they should go about networking?
For the people that know me, they would say, wouldn't say I'm an introvert, but I do actually think I am. So I totally understand. And like I said, I think the one thing that you guys should do if you do kind of fear going to any event or networking or just kind of walking up to a crowd of people, even within the business, in your kitchen, at work, networking within the business, not just only out. Just have a topic, have something to just say. No one's going to shut you down in a conversation. They will always kind of, okay, they might not want to kind of continue the conversation sometimes, but they will always be polite back. Mm. I think just don't be scared. And yeah, like I said, have a topic in your back pocket.
Okay. And if I specifically want to be developing my B2B marketing network,
yep.
Are there some good B2B marketing networks out there that I should be part of?
Yeah, definitely. This is not a plug for the BMC, but it kind of is. I will hold my hands up and say that I do not think I would be where I am today in my career without attending the BMC. I've been obviously a part of it now for about five years.
And that this is, I should say, without any bribery. I've not offered you croissant or anything before.
Well, I'll take the croissant. definitely BMC. It's an event that... it doesn't sit, you don't get sold to. You
right.
sit along peers, you sit along people from all different industries, and you do sit along people in kind of different stages in their career as well. And you just kind of really understand the challenges and how they're going about it. You get some real life case studies. And I, like I said, I think it's fantastic. I feel totally comfortable walking into the room there. Everyone's super friendly. But there are many other events as well. I mean, one thing that I would also say is I work in social media. So I kind of look at LinkedIn and I look at Twitter, and if they hold events, I think if you work, for example, in like ABM, B2B marketing, do some great kind of smaller events for kind of around topics. So always try and find something if it is going to be kind of professional, or kind of take it outside into your personal life in terms of the stuff that you want to kind of network within. find something that you want to, that you want to kind of focus on and go for.
And go for it.
Yeah.
Good. Seize the moment is kind of your message. So, Sophie Barnes, Social Media Manager of Workday, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's it. We're out of time for this episode of the Business Marketing Clubcast. My thanks to all of our many contributors today. And thanks to you as well for listening. Please let us know what you think of our podcast today, what you've liked, and also what we can do better. You can contact us at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. That's businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And what are the chances? That's also the address to use if you want to contact us and would like to take part in future podcasts. We'd really love you to come on board. And also, if you've got any ideas about what you'd like for us to cover. And it's also the address to use if you'd like to find out more about the Business Marketing Club, which is a network for B2B marketers run by B2B marketers for passion, not profit. We do it because we genuinely want to make our profession as best as it possibly can be. The Business Marketing Club is behind this podcast, and we also run events and mentoring programs for UK-based B2B marketers. So if you're working in business-to-business marketing or thinking of working in business-to-business marketing or just interested in business-to-business marketing, we are for you. It doesn't matter whether you're just starting out or you've been in the profession for decades, whether you're a CMO or a marketing executive, whether you're client side or agency side, whether you're based in London or Long Eaton, we care not. We've got something to support you. We're the only sector agnostic support network for B2B marketers in the UK run by B2B marketers. The club's 5 years old now, and we've got hundreds of client side and agency side members. We set it up because we felt that B2B marketing was the unloved cousin in the marketing world. If you do B2C marketing, you have support from lots of organisations, ranging from the CIM to the Marketing Society. But there isn't any really equivalent support in B2B until now. So look us up at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And when you do contact us, please mention that you found us through the podcast so that we know that this channel is working and we do more. That's all for now. I'm Dave Stevens. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.